You're listening to Radio Mayapur with the best devotional, meditation, kirtan music, and inspirational podcast. This is Radio Mayapur.
Hare Krishna, everyone. This is Radio Mayapur, Gangadas, your host for today. We are in New Zealand, in a beautiful place called Wellington. And we are hosted by a beautiful person, nice devotee, Ambarish Maharaj Prabhu Das, who is such a wonderful devotee. I have an opportunity to stay in his house with His Holiness Banaswami. We are the wandering monks. We are traveling, trying to inspire devotees all over the world. Not me, but Maharaj, with his wonderful lecture and classes, explaining the technique of spirituality, opening the door to new understanding and how to improve our spiritual life. So thank you, Ambarish Maharaj Prabhu, for hosting us and for being with us today in Radio Mayapur.
Hare Krishna. And it is our pleasure to have you and His Holiness Banaswami Maharaj here. It has been like really wonderful 2 days that you have been here. And we wish that you could stay more.
Next year, we will come and spend more time with you. Yeah, we have such a good experience here as far as... we've been accommodated, well-fed, overfed, I should say. But we also have a nice spiritual association with all of your congregation devotees, with the temple devotees, and with the yoga group also. Mm. So I'd like to introduce Ambarish Maharaj Prabhu. He is born in Chopdar, Maharashtra in 1976. He studied as an electrical engineering in Bombay. He was fifth rank. He has been always a good student, topping the top of all the classes. And he came in contact with a devotee in London, in Ipswich. So, Ambarish Maharaj Prabhu, I'd like to ask a question which I ask all my interviewer, is what was your life before you come in contact with the spirituality which enhanced your life? Tell us a little bit about your family, what you were doing when you were a child, and how your family was. You're the only son, or you're... brother, sister, okay. Tell us a little bit. Yes.
Thank you, Ganga Prabhuji, and my dandavats to all the listeners on Radio Mayapur. This is such a wonderful service that you're doing, Prabhuji, and you're giving an opportunity to talk about my life here. So, before joining Krishna Consciousness, I was part of a middle-class family. Mm-hmm. My father was a teacher. And my mother was is a housewife. So, but the only good thing that we had in the life was reading. Because my father was a teacher.
Was a teacher. So
they will always encourage us to read. And any birthday gifts or anything, like any good occasions, what we will get is a book.
Book.
And also, apart from the gifts that we will get as a book, for some part of his life, he was also a headmaster of a school. And he will also get lots of books for the school. But he will buy them just before the holidays. So the box with the books will remain in our house for the holiday.
Nice.
And then the books will be taken to the school afterwards. So nice. Our job, like me and my elder brother, our job used to be just read all those books before they go to the school. So somehow or the other, by Krishna's arrangement, we have read lots of books.
But what type of books? So for example, adventure books.
They are right, not all devotional books as well. But like
story books.
But they are mainly because they were bought for schools. They will be of some moral stories,
right.
Some value education stories. And at the same time, there will be books on some saints, like in Maharashtra, Sant Tukaram, Sant Jnaneshwar, Sant Gorakumbhar.
Beautiful story.
Yeah, so many saints are there. So there will be some books on them. So I have read all those books as well as all these other material books. And somehow or the other, I did not actually click on the devotional side. So when I kept growing, so I actually continued reading. But I started reading the books which are like novels. And I would read lots of books in novels as well. At the same time, on the study side, as you were mentioning, I was good in school. So
Was because your father was a teacher, or just you were motivated or fear? I want to ask you at this point.
No, there was no fear.
You were just good.
I wouldn't say I was good. By Krishna's arrangement, I have some liking for studies.
Good.
And now as well, if anything there, if there is any task where I can learn something, that motivates me a lot.
Nice.
So if I have to read Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and give some classes on it, then that actually motivates me quite a lot.
To read more before.
And now as well, if I have to give study and give exams, all of that motivates me. But similarly, like in the childhood as well, I would be just like to study. I will read the books. And even in engineering, most of the fellow students will just go for guides. But I will really study the textbooks. And there are very few in the college who will read and study the textbooks. So I was just one of them. Somehow or other,
nice.
Krishna's arrangement, I have a liking for reading and studying.
And you were living in Pune or Bombay at this time?
Yeah, so till my 8th standard, I lived in Pune.
Okay.
Then somehow or the other, my father took a job in Mumbai. So I went and stayed in Mumbai. Mm-hmm. And then I completed my engineering as well there. And then I worked there for 1.5 years in Mumbai. But somehow or the other, Mumbai did not...
click you.
Yeah, I did not like Mumbai.
It's too crowded?
Too crowded. You have to travel in trains, which are too crowded.
Tough. Especially in summertime.
Yeah. So I always like Pune. So then I took a job in Pune after that 1.5 year of work in Mumbai.
And you were working as what?
I initially, because I did electrical engineering and I was good at it somehow or the other. So I first initially took a job in a company called Larsen & Toubro. Which is
famous company.
And it had a big electrical division. So I worked there. But very soon I understood that, it is boring me.
You want something more challenging.
Something more challenging where I can learn something new regularly. And somehow or the other, in the manufacturing industry, there are set processes, there are set things. And you have to just go and observe and come do it. Even in the research and development, I tried. But it did not, I did not enjoy it. So I thought that, this is not the area that I want to work.
Mm-hmm.
So then I changed the job and I went into IT. So software field. And that was quite interesting because it keeps on changing.
Yeah, it's constantly changing.
Yeah, it keeps on changing. You get an opportunity to learn new things. And it just helped me.
In this process, you also learn a lot of things. It's not just a prefix things. You just do this and that's it.
Yeah.
Was a curve of learning, correct?
Yes. Quite a lot of learning is there.
But were you able to utilize your technological engineering into the computer side also or not?
Oh, yes. A lot of it. In India, I think many of our listeners, maybe also in IT field, they would know that in India, the software companies take any engineering graduate, that it doesn't have to be a computer engineering graduate that they hire. Any engineering students, once they come out, they will be hired by them because what they are looking for is how is their logic and how their analysis, and then they will train the IT part in the first 2-3 months or on the job like that.
But would you say also some of these young, talented Indians, they also have a creative mind by which you can explore? It's not like, in the West they tell you, okay, whatever you learn, forget about it. Or you cannot invent anything. Everything is already invented. But in India, they explore people to come out with new technology, new things. I mean, there is a space for you to kind of experiment or try new things or give new idea or concept.
I think it doesn't depend. I think it doesn't depend on whether you're in India or outside.
No.
It is just a mindset.
Okay.
And what you want to do. Because everywhere you go, it is possible that you can do what you want to do.
Of course.
In fact, I would say that in India, the life is quite competitive because there's so much population.
So much people.
And the opportunities are limited and there are so many people. So the competition is quite large. And because of that competition, people are quickly go into the rat race mode. So in the schools, you have to actually study hard, and then you have to actually get good marks so that you can get a good job.
Right.
And there as well, because the competition will be there.
It's very high.
And there will be only a few people who can get promotions and all of that. So it is very competitive.
So you have to excel at every step.
Correct. And I think that requires quite a lot of effort. And yes, you would see that all these developing countries, not only India, you would see that people work quite hard. Hardly anyone works for 8 hours. People work for 10, 12, 14 hours. And
but the salary is the same.
I did the same as well.
You have to, you're bound to.
Yeah, and especially in IT, you work quite hard because the client may be in some other country. So you're in India, the client may be in UK or USA.
So different time.
Different time zone. So you'll have to work in your time zone
in the night,
as well as work in their time zone.
My goodness.
To talk to the customer and whatever. So it was like a hard 12 hours, 14 hours every day I have worked in India. That was one of the reasons why I shifted.
So when you decide to shift to another country, this was the main motivation or just better quality life or what?
It's who quite propelled you? So again, competitive mindset.
Mm.
So when I was working with this Indian software giant, we thought, okay, let's go to some other country so that I can have a better living and I can see another country. So from the same company, I went to UK I went to USA as well for 3-4 months. And then with my wife, I went to UK to a place called Ipswich, where I got introduced to Krishna consciousness. And it is very close to London, like just 1 hour by train to London.
Yes.
And that is where I came in contact with some devotees.
Wow. Yeah.
But the originally
it was unexpected. It's like, you know, you never saw devotee in India or in Pune or any other place.
That is another funny part.
Yeah, because, you know, usually...
in Pune, in fact, in the electrical engineering as well, when I did, it was in one of the very good colleges in Mumbai.
Mm-hmm.
And I came to know later on that there were some devotees who used to come to the college hostel to do some programs. But I never got introduced to them. Then that is one part. Then the second thing is when I again came back to Pune for a job, it is just 1 kilometer from my house. There is an ISKCON temple. I never went there.
Oh, okay.
In fact, in the morning, they will have this Mangalarti going on,
right.
Conscious blowing. I could hear it.
Oh,
and
okay.
They will put some speakers as well. And I used to always think, why are they doing this in the morning?
4:30 in the morning, somebody's blasting Hare Krishna.
Yeah, disturbing my sleep.
Yeah.
But I never actually went to the temple, ISKCON temple before.
But you were hearing the kirtan.
Yeah.
So that is something. Eh?
I had actually, one of the thing is, somehow or the other, I had some interest in Bhagavad Gita while I was growing up, maybe because of the childhood, all the books that I had read.
All the story of the
So I had
saints.
Some interest in Bhagavad Gita. So while reading all these other novels, I also read quite a lot of other Bhagavad Gitas. So in my mother tongue is Marathi in Maharashtra. So I would read a lot of Marathi Bhagavad Gita translations and by
some other
sadhus, saints like that. And I heard quite a lot of other lectures on Bhagavad Gita as well.
Before in Marathi?
In Marathi, okay. Before coming to Krishna consciousness.
That's nice.
So I had some background and some inclination towards Bhagavad Gita, especially. So when I went to UK, from our company, there were quite a lot of people who were working on the client side. And one of my friend, he was running like a small program at his home. And he is not even, I wouldn't say at that time he was a devotee as such. He just wanted to actually have some people come together at his house and read Bhagavad Gita.
Indian.
Yeah.
Of course.
So
part of the culture.
Yeah.
It's natural thing.
And he said that, okay, Amit, you also come.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, fine. I had some inclination. And my wife and I went on Friday evenings. We would go and read. We will chant one round of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And,
but this was Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita.
That was the good thing that we did. Somehow or the other, we started reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. But when we were reading it, whenever we were reading a shloka and the translation, we would always discuss because there was no full-fledged devotee with good knowledge or anything present in our congregation like that, in that 7-8 people who are coming together, they would always say, why this author is saying Bhakti Yoga when the shloka is clearly saying Karma Yoga?
Right.
In the second or third chapter, whenever it is happening, we'll say, why this author is saying Bhakti Yoga? Where is Bhakti Yoga in the shloka? So we'll criticize like that somehow or the other. But it was like a friendly one. Like we were not criticizing in a very negative way.
You were just understanding properly. Yeah.
And the good thing was, only Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita gave me something practical. I think that is the change in my life, that because I have read other Bhagavad Gitas as well before, I read them as spiritual entertainment.
Right.
That is to, just like other people read something else and have some other hobbies, I would read Bhagavad Gita so that I can throw in some few lines, one or two shlokas here and
there. Somebody ask you something, you say,
and
okay,
then
I know.
You will feel that, and the other
I
people will
Sanskrit.
Also feel, like, wow, this person is like a scholar or something. So I only did it like that, but there was no change in my life because of any other Bhagavad Gita that I read. But only after I read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, my life changed. So we started chanting one round of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And also, I don't know how that happened, but my wife and I, we also started reading one verse a day each before our dinner.
Nice.
So like two verses, she will read one and loudly and I will hear, and then I will read one and she will hear. And we started like that, and we wanted to do it every day. So we said, okay, if we just leave it that, we will do it any time, it will not work.
Yeah.
So we have to actually connect it to something that we do every day, which is dinner. So we said that we will not take dinner till we have chanted one round.
And read the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah, read two verses at least. And if we are in a good mood, then we will read more. But at least minimum two verses we will read.
But will you also discuss if you have some understanding,
correct.
Some qualification?
We'll
discuss
with each other.
So.
Yeah, we'll discuss with
that's
each other.
That's very nice.
And that is how we got connected. And over a period of time, we went to Bhaktivedanta Manor.
Wow.
Oh, before even that, His Holiness Swayam Bhagwan Keshav Swami,
he was a brahmachari at the time.
He was a brahmachari, but he was not even initiated.
Right.
That he came once to visit to our program. His name was Sandeep at that time.
Yeah.
And he came and he gave a very wonderful lecture. And I still remember some of the points from his lecture. He was amazing. Like, he is amazing now.
Yeah, I love his lecture. I listen.
He was amazing from,
from day one of his spiritual life.
And he invited us to the Bhaktivedanta Manor. So we went to Bhaktivedanta Manor once. And Radha Gokulananda captured us.
It's funny because Maharaj say, I was watching one of his podcasts, and he said that actually I was an introvert person, and Kadambakananda Maharaj, his Guru Maharaj, when he saw me, he said, yeah, you have to come, and you take sannyas and go and preach. He said, me, I'm not qualified, not this. Because he was always in the back, you know, always listening very attentively, but Maharaj could spot that he was a good person.
Maharaj
and,
is amazing.
Even today, I mean, he's doing a lot of preaching, and he has many followers all over the world. And I listen to his lecture with great pleasure. It's very clear. He's in his understanding, simple, and very entertaining, and joking, and happy person.
Yeah.
So it's so nice.
And he's able to relate to the people who he's talking to, and he can actually talk in their language.
Right. He's quite young, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
He's maybe 30 years or 40.
I remember asking questions to him afterwards, thinking, because at that time my material mindset was, why he has so much studied? Did he not get any job, and that's why he has become a brahmachari?
Right.
That is my mindset, because everything I can think about is only material things.
Right. You think it's a loser.
Yeah,
that's
so
why he joined the
regulation. Yeah,
he couldn't make it into the material world. He couldn't be successful.
Yeah, Prabhuji at the time was quite patient in answering to us and saying that how he felt inspired and how this gives him happiness, and this is a spiritual happiness, and all of that, many things he mentioned at that time.
So association with the world is very, very powerful.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
what we can understand. And Prashadam, of course, you went to the manor. It's a place where George Harrison donated that beautiful mansion with the lots of devotees.
Yeah. We had an excellent experience at the manor. And when I said that Radha Gokulananda captured us, that is because they gave us some experience
right. In
the temple. Like that was the first ISKCON temple that we went.
Awesome.
And it was possibly a Sunday feast was there. And when we went there, before that, I haven't seen any Western devotee.
Yeah.
So when we entered the temple, there was a Western devotee who was singing kirtan very melodiously, very beautifully. And it was very captivating. So we just were, my wife and I, we were just glued there and said, wow, very wonderful. Then there was a lecture, again, given by a Western devotee. And he started quoting, like he spoke for one whole hour, spoke about Bhagavad Gita very clearly and quoting various verses. And I was thinking, if someone asked me to speak about Bhagavad Gita for 10 minutes now, and I was thinking that this is my Bhagavad Gita, right? This I'm coming from India,
right,
so Bharat,
right.
So this is my Bhagavad Gita.
This is my Bhagavad Gita.
And I cannot speak.
But this guy is a foreigner,
he's able to speak. And look at him, like he looks very happy and spiritual.
Yeah.
So what is it that he's doing? He must be doing something good. Yeah. And I have to actually do something like that. And hopefully there will be a time when I can also speak about Bhagavad Gita for 1 hour. So that desire Gokulananda fulfilled. But anyway, after that, Aarti was there. And the temple was full by then.
Yeah.
And it was very crowded. And everyone, again, wonderful singing was going on. And everyone was moving. And you had no choice.
You had to move because you are packing. So,
correct.
Like in a
you're
train.
You're moving with them back and forth, dancing. Back and forth. And some or the other tears started coming from my eyes. And I'm thinking, hey, what is this thing?
Why am I crying?
In this big crowded place, why this man is crying? Young man crying. So I was trying to hide it. And then after that, everything happened because Anand, my wife, was at a different place. So after the aarti, I said, some or the other this weird thing was happening. And she said, oh, same thing happened with me as well. And we were
something
so surprised.
Something in the heart.
And we were so surprised. I said, and we both said to each other that even though we were crying, I was feeling very nice. So it was like Radha Gokulananda's reciprocation.
Absolutely.
They wanted to hook me up.
Of course.
They gave me this one small hook of some little...
Pull you.
Yeah, some little glimpse.
Amazing.
Yeah. And then I think we just thought that, we have to just
do
continue.
Something.
Yeah, we just have to continue. I should study this properly. I should implement that whatever I can in my life.
Wonderful experience you had. But then how you end up in New Zealand? We are in Wellington. And now from London, you end up here, you know, in the end of the world. We're close to the South Pole.
Yes. This is in my pursuit of work-life balance.
Okay.
So one other interesting story. I'll have to tell you
sure. Before
I can come to this, why I thought of work-life balance. So as I was saying, I was working in this software company and it was all competitive. And again
like, this is London you're talking.
Yeah, in
London.
India as well as in London.
Yeah.
So in London, I was working for 14 hours a day. In London, I was working for probably 11 or 12 hours a day.
Okay, a little less.
Still a lot.
Yeah.
And that was, of course...
Which company was that you were working in London?
No, I'll not mention.
You won't mention. Okay. Well, that's fine. No problem. It doesn't make a difference.
One of the software giants.
Famous.
Yeah. And it was actually taking a toll on my body. It was quite stressful.
On your health.
Yeah, on my health. And one fine day, I was going back and forth between like London and India. Like 6 months, I'll be on the project. I'll go and I'll come back. Then again, I'll go, I'll come back. Like that, it was happening. So one of that trip, when I came back, I was having my breakfast and my spoon fell from my hand. And I thought, hey, what happened? How come my spoon has fallen from my hand? And I tried to lift it and again it fell. And again, I tried to lift it and I was not able to lift it. And I was very, very bewildered that what is happening? with me, and my wife was frightened. We went to a doctor quickly, and the doctor said, oh, go and do the MRI scan and this test and whatever. In 2 days, when I took all the reports to him, he said that, oh, you're stressed out. If you continue like this, you will get paralyzed.
Jesus.
And I was thinking, paralyzed? I'm like late, probably in 30 years of
you're
age
young.
By then. Yeah,
you're
very young.
Young.
I was thinking, if I get paralyzed now, whatever money I'm earning or like the company that I'm actually working for 14 hours, 12 hours, it will be of no use. And it will be a burden. I'll be moved out of company. I'll be kicked out, as well as I'll be burdened on the family. There's so much life is remaining in my life, possibly. So I said that, oh, this can't continue. At that time, somehow or the other, I understood that I'm in this rat race and I have to somehow or the other come out, because this is not what I want. I don't want to get paralyzed. I don't want to get hung up on this material things. Because even if I work very hard, I will probably get 10,000 per month extra than the other person. But I was already earning so much by then that 10,000 was just remaining in the bank account anyway.
Yeah.
So I was working hard for the money that I did not need. So I said, no.
So Krishna gave you a knock.
Yeah.
Hello, wake up. What are you doing?
So that is when I thought that, okay, I have to actually look for a life.
Something.
Where I can do some balance. And when again I went back to UK, one of my client, he came to New Zealand for a holiday first. And after coming back, he couldn't stop talking about New Zealand. He said, oh, this is nice, that is nice. And soon enough, he actually left UK and he just moved to New Zealand. And he came to Wellington.
Wow.
And he joined a company, and I had a good relationship. He was happy with my work. So when he said, Amit, you want to come? There is a role that is there. So I said, okay, fine. I said, we have seen London.
The world.
We have seen the America. UK. Why not now go to New Zealand and see?
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, we'll just leave in 6 months.
Of course.
So that is how I joined here. And that was 15 years ago. I'm still here.
Wow. Beautiful.
The good thing is I have to only work for 8 hours. We can work nicely for 8 hours, but after 8 hours of work, you have time for other things. And that is where I could read more books. I could study Bhakti Shastri. I did study Bhagavatam. And that is how it helped me coming to New Zealand.
So when did you take initiation from Maharaj? And mention who is your Guru Maharaj, please.
Yeah, I met my spiritual master, His Holiness Vedavyas Swami Maharaj,
yes.
Here in Wellington.
Oh, okay.
So I think it was 2009. In just 1 year while we were here, 2008 we came to New Zealand. In 2009 itself, we met Maharaj.
Yes, yes.
And we met him here in Wellington. We met him in Auckland. Then when we went to Vrindavan as well in 2010 or something, at that time we met him again.
Nice.
So I think in 2011, I believe, I took initiation from him.
In India or here in New Zealand?
Here, in Wellington.
Zealand. He's very sweet.
Yeah, yeah.
Very nice. Beautiful person. Nice.
Yeah, he gave a lot of love and care to us.
Nice.
In all the situations and difficulties.
Nice.
Spiritual, material difficulties, whenever we went to him, he's always available.
Always.
The best thing is, he even takes his phone to bathroom. And
just in case somebody calling.
Yeah, he says that, what if someone is in need? And if I don't have my phone, and if they are not able to speak to me,
something
then
will
that work? So he will always be available. One fine day, I said, Maharaj, I don't have a lot of association. Like that was a long time ago. So I said, I don't have any senior association. He said, I am there. You can call me anytime. And
that's nice.
He's really, when he says that you can call him anytime,
it's
that
true,
is really
true.
Even if he's giving class or something, he will call me back afterwards. So he has always given that love and care, which is why we have like whatever little progress we have done because of his kind.
Ambarish Prabhu, tell me how you started the preaching, which you're doing, which I see It's very fructifying. It's a lot of people, congregation, young, medium, all type of people. You are able to reach them. Of course, mostly Indian people, I would say. But I saw you have a nice program in a hall where you rent every week, where there were about 200 people, 300 people. I don't know how many people were there. Quite a bit of people, families. And also today we had a program in our devotees' house. And that was a congregational program. There were about maybe 50, 60 people.
Yeah, 60.
And nice prasadam and nice program. How you are able to introduce this Krishna consciousness to new people? That is interesting for our audience to understand also.
Yeah, sure.
Because many of them, maybe they are also practicing and they were thinking, oh, maybe I can call my friend and do a small group. I don't know. Explain to us.
Sure. So I had no ability to do any programs.
Okay.
And when I first started it, my first answer was, no, I don't want to do it.
Why? You were afraid?
No, what happened was, we were in Wellington, and somehow or the other, all the friends that we had in the beginning, like in 2008 or 2009,
yeah,
all the devotee friends that we had, around, I think, 2011 or 2012, they were all dispersed somehow or the other. And they either went to Auckland or some other country or back to India or like that, or Malaysia.
You are telling me that this is a transitional place, yeah, transitional, where people come and they go.
Correct.
After some time, they move around in different, yeah, world. It looks
so
like a railway station.
That happened. And then we were thinking, I don't want to stay here.
Because there is no association.
Yeah,
everybody's
no association.
Gone.
Actually, no like-minded association.
Right.
So I thought, we have to go from here. So I called Maharaj and said that, Maharaj, I'm thinking that we should go from here. And he said, where do you want to go? I said, can I come to Vrindavan? And I can just retire and I can do, yeah, you can come, but maybe after some years. So he said, then I said, what is the other place? So I said, maybe I can go to Melbourne, because Melbourne is a very wonderful,
yeah,
temple,
a lot of
wonderful community,
people.
And so much study focus is there. So I said, okay, yeah, you go to Melbourne. Maharaj also travels to Melbourne, has,
yeah,
some God family as well, and there are lots of other devotees as,
yeah,
well. But somehow or the other, it did not work out at that time. So again, I called Maharaj. Maharaj, what should I do? He said that...
It didn't work out means you went to Melbourne.
No, it didn't,
you didn't
work
go
out from the... I didn't even move.
Oh, because
so started,
of the work or something.
Yeah, because of I couldn't find the right job that
right,
for my,
right, right,
for
right,
my profile at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said... I called Maharaj and Maharaj said, you should create your own association.
Wow, that's nice.
And I was thinking, create your own association?
How does it work?
So that was the instruction that he gave. And then he said that you start a small program at your home and see if you can talk about Bhagavad Gita, a few other things. I said, my first response was, Maharaj, no, I can't do it. This is the challenge, that we don't have faith in the spiritual
in our own self
instructions as well. So first response was, I can't do it. He said, no, you try. I said, okay, I'll try. And I started 15 days, I'll study a particular topic. I'll take some notes because, again, my studious background.
Yeah.
So I'll take some notes. I will hear lots of lectures. There was also a little fear that what if I can give, I can talk, but what when someone asks a question? So I will think about each topic. I will think about personally some 15, 20 questions that other people can ask me.
Yeah.
And then I will look for their answers and I'll prepare for them. And that actually helped me quite a lot.
Okay,
and I saw
nice
that when Maharaj gave that instruction, it was for my own benefit. Because earlier,
push
when,
you
I,
to study
yeah,
more.
When earlier I was studying, it was not, I wasn't absorbing that much. But when I actually was studying for speaking,
then
I retained quite a lot. I learned quite a lot. Also had to implement a lot.
Yeah, because you had to practice what you preach.
Otherwise people will say, hey.
Yeah, this guy's in a pocket. Actually, they say the best way to learn is to tell others.
Yeah.
So this is true, because as we tell others, we are telling ourselves also. And also we start to implement and believe more deeply that I had to be practical in what I'm saying. I had to do what I'm saying.
And then because before we were starting these programs, so I did a little bit of research, what kind of programs may be attractive for the people here and what can we do to make them more interactive. So a lot of devotees helped. So there are Radha Gopinath Prabhuji from Chopati Temple. He has the Journey of Self-Discovery or Science of Self-Realization videos. There is some 6 to 10 sessions.
Nice.
Then those I heard. Then Jagannath Ram Prabhuji from Melbourne. He was also very kind. He shared his Journey of Self-Discovery 10-session course.
Beautiful.
And I did a few other hearing, reading. And based on that, I just made something together. Mainly, it is mainly inspired from Radha Gopinath Prabhuji's sessions as well as Jagannath Ram Prabhuji's sessions. But there are also other devotees from whom I have learned, which I have included that. And I try to make it even more interactive, like there will be some group discussions.
That's very important.
They will spend half an hour. They will do 15 minutes. They will do 15 minutes. They will present and some slides. Something like that.
Nice.
Some more interactive thing instead of just sitting and giving lecture.
Of course. Otherwise, people get fed up.
And that somehow or the other worked. So that was the first program that we started was in 2012 at our home here itself.
Nice.
We had around 20 or so devotees who were coming. And again, the Wellington was a transient place, I said.
Yeah.
After some time, after two or three years, there were only 4 or 5 remaining. And I was thinking, how can I continue program for 4 or 5? So, my wife is a big thinker.
She is.
She's
a great cook.
Definitely.
I'm sure everybody tests like Prashanna will be wonderfully attracted to that.
Yeah. And she said, hey, we did 20. We started with 20 and we only have 5 remaining. If you just continue like this for multiple years, 2020, it will not work. Let's hire a big place. And let's invite at least 100, 150 people so that even after 2 years, people are gone. We will at least have 30.
Yeah, correct.
I said,
she is
speaking in front of 20 was okay, but speaking in front of 150 will be even more difficult because people will be of different kinds or whatever. And a new place, like home is
your own
home and it is, you are the king here.
Yeah, you are protected.
But somehow or the other, we just took that step.
That was a good suggestion from your wife.
She's like a machine from which all the ideas, 100 different ideas. You just ask, this is the problem, and she can give multiple different ideas to increase Krishna consciousness.
This is so nice. It's so nice.
Yeah.
And she's not afraid of anything because tell you, okay, let's hire, call 300 people. And you think, what?
And that means that she had to actually cook for those people.
Of course. That's what I'm thinking.
She had never cooked for more than 15, 20 people like that before. And she was just ready to cook for 150 people. I said, will you be able to manage it? We did not even have pots or
let's go and buy the big pots and the fire and we'll do it.
But
she did it.
Yeah.
We did. Krishna empowered her and you to do this.
Somehow.
Nice. So how many group you have now? You are in Wellington, where you're doing a house.
So we are doing some few programs. One, like on Fridays, we do 3 at different locations. We do it 1 hour at our home and 2 at different 2 other locations at other homes. On Saturday, we have the program in the hall.
Nice.
And earlier, we used to also do another program in the city in the hall, which we shifted to our home now.
Mm-hmm.
But on Sundays as well, previously when we were running Bhakti Shastri, we had a Bhakti Shastri batch on Sunday. So it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days we will do. But apart from that, now after COVID, we have lots of online outreach.
Yes.
So I run an online program called Wisdom of Bhagavad Gita on Zoom on Wednesday evening, 7:30 to 8:30.
And how many people listen to you?
In COVID time, that was quite a big group that used to
be. Because of COVID.
Yeah,
everybody's locked inside. Yeah,
locked inside.
How many people at that time?
At that time, 80, 90 people would come.
Nice.
But now there are at least 30, 35.
Not bad.
And they are the logins. Possibly there are families behind.
And maybe some people also watch it maybe in YouTube afterward,
yes, yeah.
Because
and, yeah,
they cannot participate at the time, you know, something.
Yeah. So in YouTube, they also watch.
Nice.
But mainly it keeps me busy. And apart from that, my wife takes a few online sessions. She
with the Mataji only or with everybody?
With everyone.
Okay.
Like she will do reading program.
Okay.
On Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. She would run probably, I have lost count, probably 8 or 10 per week.
That's a lot.
And she will...
In English?
Yeah. She, one program she does in Marathi.
Uh-huh.
And others are in English.
Fantastic.
So she will do like those.
That's beautiful.
So
I'm sure the Prabhupada is very happy with you and your Guru Maharaj is very happy with you and you're able to carry on nicely. Now, what are the challenges you face in your own personal spiritual life, let's say, in general? Nothing personal, just everybody goes up and down. When we start, you know, we say, oh, you know, this boat is rocking, or this and that, or whatever.
Yeah, I think multiple challenges. One is we are full-time, like I'm working full-time still. So that time goes. Then I'm running a center called ISKCON Center for Culture and Education here in Wellington. So there are some management activities which are there, plus the devotee care activities. So we find it hard now to juggle with the time. Like there is
time
not
management.
Enough time.
Yeah.
There is not enough time for doing everything.
Everything.
And even with devotees helping, it's still, we have the desire to actually do some more programs,
more,
do
yeah.
this, do that. So that is one. And our original challenge of not having senior association is still missing. So
okay.
we still do not have senior devotees whose association we can take. So we try to work
Invite.
Around that by
inviting
like you.
And yeah, yeah.
Maharaj is here now. And somehow or the other, then Maharaj stays with us. And my Guru Maharaj also, when he comes, he stays with us. Other
nice.
Maharajas as well,
nice.
Or other devotees.
Nice.
Like Chaitanya Charan Prabhu comes and he stays
nice.
With us. So I think through all these, and Radha Gopinath Prabhu and Damodar Prabhu from Chaupati came recently and they also stayed with us. So that is how somehow or the other
we get inspiration,
yeah, we get some
recharge
inspiration,
the battery. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we try to go every year to Bharat and go to Mayapur. ISKCON Leadership Sangha is there, so
That's
we'll
beautiful.
Attend that.
Yeah.
We'll go to Vrindavan or Mayapur other times and listen here. Take some association.
The Holy Dhamma is very powerful.
Yeah,
you know, you feel like...
But still we feel that it is not enough, that we are not having a constant association under whom we can do. Of course, as I said, my Guru Maharaj is always available, but he has so many disciples as well. I don't want to call him every day for this and that.
Of course, of course.
Yeah, so that,
but
that
somehow I think Bhanu Maharaj in one of his lectures was telling we should have greed. Not to get money, but to get this
association.
Of the devotee. So you have developed this greed in your heart, which is very powerful, which will motivate you to associate in a proper platform with devotees. And when they're coming, you are, you know, taking the benefit of.
I think those who don't get it, they will be hankering for it. That's
of course,
why it is easy.
Of course.
And those who have it, they sometimes take it for granted.
That's
they are thinking
That's
that, oh, they are.
Like I am leaving Mayapur for 45 years, and there's so many Maharaj coming here, there, go. But sometimes we go to lecture, sometimes we don't go. Sometimes they call me, okay, I'll give a lecture, I'll come. No, because it's like that. But of course, we have Mayapur TV, so we can see every day darshan. And even if we don't happen to go to the temple, we can listen to the lecture. And because Mayapur is a spiritual city, we bump in, you know, into the body every day, every single day, and every day there's opportunity to help and help somebody that you know coming from. Sometimes people stop you. Oh, yeah, I know you. You know, I saw you somewhere because we're traveling around the world and say, okay, you know, how can I serve you?
Both Vrindavan and Mayapur.
Vrindavan and Mayapur.
Wonderful places.
Nice.
So you
nice.
Just go there, even for 3-4 days or 1 week, you stay and you feel that, oh, wonderful. Like you are.
Even if you don't want to chant Hare Krishna, you feel like chanting Hare Krishna. You wake up in the morning, you hear some kirtan going on. So it's a natural thing. And
Mangal Arati in Mayapur, that is,
especially
Darshan Arati in front of Panchatattva, is always is always something that connects to my heart in Mayapur. For Darshanarthi, I'm always on the Panchatattva side, not on
Radha Madhava
side, because somehow or the other that helps me.
Yeah, it's inspiration.
Of course, Radha Madhava is also beautiful and attractive. So I do Mangalarthi there and Darshanarthi.
Did you see the new temple when you went there?
Yes.
You went inside for a tour.
Yeah.
It's quite big and beautiful. Now we have opened the wing of, we finished the altar for Nrisimhadev.
It's beautiful.
And so another couple of years, we'll be able to shift the deity there. You must come for the opening.
Yeah, definitely. It will be a great festival.
I mean, every day is a festival in Mayapur. You know, it's becoming like Tirupati. You know, I mean, so many thousands of people. Sometimes you go to Mangalarthi, you have difficulty entering the temple because it's complete pack. For pilgrims coming.
There's a wonderful devotee
buses.
There, Sri Radha Vallabh Prabhu.
Oh, Radha Vallabh Prabhu.
Yeah, I know him very well. So he's, whenever we go, he takes us on a tour. And we were there for the chakra.
Installation of the chakra. Ambarish Prabhu was there.
Alfred
Ford Ambarish. Yeah. Your cousin brother. Oh, your uncle.
Yes.
Your uncle.
So we...
Nice.
We were part of that. But recently as well, when I went, I took a darshan of... And I took a tour. And that...
You saw the kitchen, the dressing room.
Beautiful, when the kitchen also opened, I was there.
Yeah, it was nice. Yeah.
I couldn't come for the... Narsingh opening.
Yeah, that happened last month only.
But hopefully when the temple opens, definitely, we want to be there.
Ambarish Prabhu, it's been a great pleasure talking to you. And do you have any parting message which you like to give to all the audience already in Mayapur? What is the last message you like to give?
Last message.
I can talk to you for many hours, of course, but I don't want to take so much of your time.
I would just suggest that have faith in Guru's instruction. Because many times when the instruction comes, we think that we are the doers.
Mm.
And we think that I won't be able to do it. But we have to actually trust that the instruction comes with the potency to fulfill that that instruction. So if we take it seriously and we just be an instrument in fulfilling that instruction, then in that journey of fulfilling, definitely we also will get a lot of benefit and we will make some spiritual advancement. So I would just say that everyone who's listening, I'm sure that you are much more advanced than me and you already have good faith in your spiritual master's instruction. But I would just say that if you have it, increase it. If you don't have it, just build some faith. Yeah, just build some faith in that instruction and just try it out. Just see if how you can try to fulfill that instruction and Krishna will just help you.
Absolutely.
And in that way, you will also get benefited and others will also get benefited. As you are saying, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased because our movement is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, which is not sitting at one place. It is to share the knowledge
all over
with others.
The world.
So if we share the knowledge, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is getting pleased, Srila Prabhupada is getting pleased, your spiritual master is getting pleased, the devotees around you are going to get pleased. What else do you want?
Amazing. Wonderful. I thank you so much for being with me today. It's a great pleasure, Ambarish Prabhu. Thank you so much for doing this podcast.
Thank you very much, Ganga Prabhuji, and for giving me your association.
No, it's my pleasure.
And I'm hoping to actually now, when next time I come to Mayapur, to meet you there.
Sure. If I'm there, I will be there. And I'll meet
you. I will contact you in advance.
Sure, for pleasure. Great pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And thank you to all the devotees who are listening to Radio Mayapur.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta koti vaishnavinda ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much. Haribol.
You're listening to Radio Mayapur with the best devotional, meditation, kirtan music, and inspirational podcast. This is Radio Mayapur.